Morning, and turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1 this morning. We are in a series which did not get put up. Okay. Adam, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go on the computer to Dropbox. And under Dropbox, I don't think you're there yet. Okay, you see the over to the right, it says sermon right there. Yes, click on that one. Bring those slides up for me. There we go. Now, put them on the, there we go. Okay, thank you. My bad on that one, folks. I got distracted this morning. We are in a series looking at the kind of people God uses to build His kingdom. And He started with 12 men. One of those betrayed Him, and those other men, the other 11, plus one that was added in Acts chapter 1, literally changed the world. One writer put it this way: the 12 disciples were simple men with a weak and basic faith. God can work through and use the same ordinary people today. God uses ordinary people like you and me, common, ordinary, flawed people for His glory. The disciples were simply ordinary men, but they had some qualities that God used to change the world. And the questions that we are asking are, what kind of people is God looking for today? What kind of people does God use to build His kingdom? On a more personal level, we might ask the question, can God use me? I don't have a lot to offer. I'm just an ordinary person. Can God use me? And so we're looking at the lives of the disciples to see what it was about them that God used. And if we can learn what kind of men they were, then we can take those qualities that they exhibited, and we can build those things into our lives so God can use us. Our message this morning is Philip the Committed. We're going to be zeroing in on Philip the disciple. Last Sunday we looked at Andrew, and we started by looking at his background and where did he come from. Who was he before he became a disciple of Jesus? And so I want to do the same thing this morning with Philip. In John chapter 1, we're given a very, very brief statement about Philip's background. Look at verse 43. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. What we learn about the background of Philip in these two verses is rather limited. We know, by the way, and if you don't know this, I'll tell you, that his name is a Greek name. It's not a Hebrew name. Peter was a Hebrew name. Philip is not a Hebrew name, which may indicate that one of his parents was perhaps Greek. We know that the area he came from had a Greek influence. It's up at the northern part of the Sea of Galilee and wrapping around from the north over to the east of the Sea of Galilee. There was what we call the Decapolis, 10 Greek cities in that area. So there was a heavy Greek influence. So we know that his name is not a Hebrew name. It's a Greek name. Later, and we'll look at this very briefly in John's Gospel, some Greek converts to Judaism had come to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, and they had heard about Jesus, and we don't know what they had heard, probably something about this miracle worker, this man who raised people from the dead, and they wanted to meet this guy. And of all the disciples they could have gone to, they went to Philip, and they said, "We'd like to meet Jesus." It was probably because he was the one with the Greek name, and they identified with him. We know from our reading that he came from the same area of Andrew and Peter, the same town. But that's really all we know about Philip's background. By the way, for some of you who are real eagle-eyed when you read the Bible, in this passage, we're told that he came from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. In other passages, we're told their hometown was Capernaum. And there are those who are going to say, hey, there's a contradiction in the Bible right there. Well, not necessarily. It's more than likely that someone like Philip was born in Bethsaida and later moved to the city of Capernaum. So it's easy to say that each one was their hometown or where they came from. Now, just so we're clear on who Philip was, there are four men in the New Testament by the name of Philip. Two of them were sons of King Herod. We're going to eliminate those immediately. No confusion here. They weren't followers of Jesus. The other man named Philip was a man who was elected in Acts chapter 6 to be one of the deacons of the church, along with Stephen, if you remember that. And then later was taken down to the desert to meet the Ethiopian, and he's known as Philip the Evangelist. Philip the disciple or apostle is not the same as Philip the Evangelist. Two different people entirely. We're looking this morning at Philip the disciple, or some people refer to him as Philip the apostle. And so his background is very limited. That's what we know. And so let's move on then to his call. Look at verse 43 again. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Philip's call to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, was just two words: follow me. Now, there is some speculation that Philip may have been a disciple of John the Baptist, as was Andrew that we looked at last Sunday. And that speculation is because the story of Andrew being a disciple of John the Baptist and then leaving John and following Jesus is basically recorded just before the verses we read. And so we have these two stories, the story of Andrew first, the story of Philip next, put side by side with each other. And the text says that Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. But the text doesn't tell us that Philip was a disciple of John the Baptist. He may have been. We simply don't know. Now, there are three things about Philip's call to follow Jesus that are identical to what we saw last week in Andrew's call to follow Jesus. First, his call to follow Jesus was initiated by Jesus, just like Andrew and Peter. Philip wasn't looking for Jesus. There's no indication in the biblical record at all that he was Jesus was looking for Philip. Secondly, his call to discipleship was a life-changing event. We're going to see that in our study today. You see, when Jesus calls someone to follow him, it will always be a life-changing event. If it was not a life-changing event for you, you need to go back and look at your call. You need to go back and look at your salvation experience. It will always change your life. And then thirdly, his call to discipleship was answered immediately. It appears that when Jesus called Andrew and Peter, there was no hesitation, no question in their mind. The text simply says they immediately followed him. And the same thing is true with Philip. In verses 45 and following, we see his concern. Philip, Jesus said in in verse 43, follow me. Verse 44 is like a parenthesis, just Philip was from Bethsaida. And then verse 45 picks up the story. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said to him, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, come and see. When Jesus called Philip to be one of his disciples, the first thing he did was to go and find his friend Nathanael and tell him that they had found the Messiah. It's reminiscent again of what Andrew did, as we looked at that last Sunday when he immediately went to find his brother Peter. Now, Nathanael is only mentioned a couple of times in the New Testament, so we know very little about him. There are some Bible scholars who have suggested that Nathanael and one of the disciples by the name of Bartholomew are the same person. There's arguments for that and arguments against that. For example, one argument against the identification of Nathanael and Bartholomew is that we have in the New Testament four lists of the disciples. Matthew chapter 10, Mark chapter 3, Luke chapter 6, and then again in Acts chapter 1. And they always list Bartholomew, but never list the name Nathanael. However, Nathanael is mentioned in a very interesting passage in John chapter 21, clear at the end of John's gospel. We're not going to turn there. Let me just refresh your memory. You remember the story that took place after the resurrection of Jesus? Jesus had appeared to his disciples. He had ascended into heaven and nothing. It's like a quiet. So Peter, who always had bright ideas, said, guys, I'm going fishing. Maybe we shouldn't be too rough on Peter. He was a fisherman. That's how he made his living. Jesus is no longer there. We haven't heard from, we don't know what's going on. Hey, let's get in the boat and go back fishing. And John says that Peter, Thomas, James, and John, and then he says, and two other of the disciples were together when Peter said that. And apparently they all decided to go back with Peter and go fishing. So there are six disciples. And then we learn that John was there. John doesn't always identify himself, but as a story develops in chapter 21, he is there. So now we have seven of the remaining 11 disciples who are together, and they decide to go back on the Sea of Galilee and fish. Now, you say, well, what happened to the other four disciples? Well, we don't know, but Matthew wasn't a fisherman. He was a tax collector. And so it's very possible the other four just weren't fishermen. They didn't go back with them. Now, what's interesting is that in that story of who went back, John lists Nathanael. Eight of Jesus' disciples are together on the Sea of Galilee, and among them is Nathanael. Now, what's interesting is that when the New Testament writers listed the disciples as a group, they almost never listed anyone outside of the group. When they talked about the 12, it was the 12. But here we find among seven followers, seven disciples, we find Nathanael, which may give support to the fact that he was, in fact, Bartholomew, and many New Testament scholars believe that today. Now, here's what